Okay. Okay, yeah. Greetings, everyone. I just want to say thank you for being here, all those that could make it today. I know that we have people that are out sick today, and all those who are online, I just want to say thank you for being here, and good to see everyone, and I think before we go any further, I'd better pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, thank you for what you're doing now, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory, the praise, the honor, Lord. Pray now, Lord, that you would work today. Work in the hearts and minds and lives. Oh, Lord God, of all people that are listening in today and those that are here with us. Whether there be few or many, oh, Lord God, you are looking for those, Lord God, who will be obedient and faithful. Help us now, Lord God, to be such a people, to be obedient and faithful. Oh, Lord God, to not look back. And I pray, Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct the service today, Lord, that you would anoint the service. Oh, Lord God, but that you would be invited here front and center, that you would be welcomed and invited, Lord, to be here with us. Lead by your Holy Ghost, by your Holy Spirit, Lord God. I pray now, Lord, that every devil, every hindering spirit would be bound and rebuked and have nowhere to operate. This we pray, O Lord God, and believe by faith in one accord, giving thanks, praise, and honor, O Lord God, for you and to you and for the victory by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, it's good to see everyone here, and I know that, like I say, we have several people that are out. I'm expecting maybe some stragglers coming through here. I know that there's a few people that were talking of coming here yet today that we're going to bring a dish for the downstairs today, so we'll see how all that works out either way. But I do want to encourage people. No matter what you're going through in life, hey, we can't look to the arm of the flesh. We can't look to what man can do for you. Because man will never have the answer. Not one whit. We need Jesus. And if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, and if you don't have that solid footing, that foundation, and when trouble comes your way, it's going to be easy to fall. Because if you look to another human person, another human being, to give you all the answers, it becomes a sort of a hearsay thing. And until you have your own working, walking relationship with the Lord yourself, it never will be real to you until then. Because you need that experience with God. We all do. Because we all have to stand before God alone on Judgment Day. We give an account to the Lord alone. So we all must have that relationship individually. And we must look to the Lamb of God. And why don't we do that? if we go to page 300 in the chorus or hymn book today. The name of the song, Look to the Lamb of God. Why don't we do that literally, spiritually, figuratively, any way you can. But let's sing that in praise to the Lord. To the Lamb, O Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, the Lord will make a way.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, if you know Him, He said that He will go prepare a place for you, that where He is, you may be also.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God.
And therein is the key. If you know Him, do you know Him? We all must look in the mirror, because the Bible talks about that, doesn't it? Talks about how that if you have love one for another, you will show whether or not you know the Lord or not, whether or not you love the Lord or not. If you love the Lord, you're going to love your brethren and your sisters. If you don't love the Lord, it's going to come out. It's going to come out one way or the other, because you know the tree by its fruit. And you know that a cistern doesn't bring forth bitter water, salty water at the same time as pure water. They don't mix together. Just like the life of a so-called Christian, or those that claim to be of Christ, if you don't have love in your heart, it's clearly identified in the Word of God. And it talks about if you lay your life down in all the whole Bible, if you want to know whether or not you have love for one another, if you want to know if whether or not you truly love the Lord, then you're going to be in that place where in your heart you say, I'm willing to lay my life down for the sake of those that I love. Jesus did the same thing. He expects us to do the same. But if you know who you believed, if you know Him, then we all have that responsibility to obey the Word of God. Amen. So, if we go to 278, let's go there and sing that. I know whom I have believed. 278 in the hymn book.
Against that day, I know not how this saving faith to me He did impart, nor how believing in His word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in Him. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before His face I see. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or new day fair, nor if I'll walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
Thank you, Lord God. Oh, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. If I could just ask you to be willing to go now to number 70 in the chorus book. If you believe, if you believe. You know, the Lord couldn't do many miracles in places, towns, and villages where he went to because people didn't believe. People didn't have faith to believe. But wherever there is belief, wherever there is faith, God can work. God can do miracles. And you know, when we have the mind of Christ and a heart to serve God, and the love one for another, you will find the Lord doing many miracles. You will find the Lord doing infinitely more than he ever could with a people who casually have a casual walk with God and who really don't believe. They go to church as a duty, or they do their job as a duty. But we are to do everything as unto the Lord, aren't we?
Amen.
It's not easy sometimes. But we are commanded to. If we can get over the flesh and the carnal, the Lord will help those who seek after him, looking for help. So let's go there. If you believe.
If you believe. Shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, he is just the same today. All you gotta do is trust and believe. You must believe. If you believe, he shall receive. There's not a trouble or care the good Lord can't relieve. Oh, he is just the same today. All you gotta do is trust and pray and believe. You must believe.
Thank you, Jesus. We'll sing one more now. But you know, I would like to encourage people to think in terms of something here. You know, when you when you praise and worship the Lord, when you really praise and worship the Lord, and everybody participates, when everybody is here, that is. When you bring in that spirit of wanting to serve God and worship Him and praise Him, did you know that you bring the presence of God down?
Praise the Lord, amen.
That's where the presence of God is.
Praise the Lord.
He inhabits the praises of His people.
That's right.
So I'm just going to ask, however, that we sing one short little chorus before we get into the message today. It's called Have Faith in God. Number 39 in the chorus book there. Have Faith. Just a short little chorus.
Have faith in God.
Take up a quick tithes and offerings collection here. I guess if I could get my friend to help me with that. Thank you. Praise God. If anybody has a testimony or any word of comfort, exhortation, or anything of that nature, please feel free to raise your hand. Thank you, brother. We're going to go ahead and pray now. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, we thank You for what You're doing, Lord God. Oh, Lord God, even in this little church, Lord God, there's still a little hope left. Lord God, before You come back, that we could be a light to those around us, oh, Lord God. That we could be a witness to those around us, Lord God. That we would have a word in season and out of season for the hope that is in us. That hope, Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord God, that we would have that place in our lives where we have just completely surrendered, where we become Christ-like. That makes us different and separate from the world. Lord God, I pray that You would give that to us. But I know it's going to cost. It's going to cost us something. But this we pray under the blood and in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Shirley. Appreciate it. Praise God. Thank you, Sam. The name of the message today It's going to start out and be found in the book of Matthew 24, and it's going to be called, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. And I want to start out in the book of Matthew. And, I tell you what, we live in a world today where things are culminating very quickly. Life is not what it once used to be, is it? I remember, even in church, even way back 20 years ago, it was different. But it was starting to change even way back then. Matter of fact, for the past 2,000 years, we've been in the end days. But I do want to say this, that I do remember the time when a pastor, I was in this church, and it was a church up in Grand Rapids, Minnesota, called Faith Christian Fellowship. It's no longer there. But it was a place where I had become born again. I was fresh out of the U.S. military, out of the Navy, and I had been drinking the night before, and the Lord dealt with me to put my drink down that night. And because I was asking the Lord to show Himself to me, to be real in my life. And I knew I wasn't serving God. I didn't even really know the Lord at the time. But I remember how the next morning I took a shower, because I was from near the Hibbing area. And I drove all over Hibbing, and I couldn't seem to find a church that I felt comfortable with. And so I thought, okay, well, you know, in your old nature, you think the way you do. I thought to myself, I'm going to go to Grand Rapids. I'll go party there tonight. I'll just go there, party. And just for a drive, just to get away. But on the way to Grand Rapids, before I got to Grand Rapids, on the hill there was a church. It used to be an old furniture store. Turned into a church from two people, the Theodorsons, who came from Washington State, who eventually fled to Florida amid lawsuits and scandals and big church split and all that other good stuff. Anyways, I had gotten to that place where I thought, well, there's a church. It's on the right-hand side of the road. And I pulled off, and I knocked on the door, and a lady answered the door, and she goes, can I help you? I go, well, yeah, I'm looking for a church, and I want to know if this is a good church. And she said, yeah, you came to the right place. She had been praying all week long that the Lord would send somebody her way so she could witness to them. And I needed to hear just that. I needed to know the gospel. I was ready to surrender. And she led me in the sinner's prayer. I received and I accepted. I acknowledged my sinfulness. I repented. I gave my heart to the Lord. I surrendered my life. You have to start somewhere. And that's where I started. But I remember how there was a man of God who came there, and he warned those pastors to get their lives right before God, or that church is going to close down. And I remember when I went up for prayer, how that he put his both hands on my head, and he said he doesn't normally do that to anybody. He doesn't normally put both hands on somebody's head and prays for them. But he said, I've got a long road ahead of me, and I'm going to go through a lot. And I didn't know all the details. He didn't know all the details. But he prayed for me. And I remember raising my hands to God. I was a new Christian. I didn't know any better. And he said, people to pray for me. But no one prayed. No one came up around there to put their hands on my shoulder or pray with me. No one bothered. But I prayed anyways. And you see, that's the kind of stick-to-itiveness you're going to need in these end days. Because there's coming a time when nobody is going to be around you to pray for you. There's going to be no one there to put their hands on your shoulder. There's going to come a time when you're not going to have anyone to comfort you at all. And you're going to need that relationship with the Lord. You're going to need to be able to stand and praise God and give Him the glory through it all, no matter what you're going through. So I sat down in the chair there, and you know, I was there for about 3 years before the church folded. There was a big church split. Now, my girlfriend, Beth, I remember talking to her, and I said, I'm just going to go back to Hibbing and start over. I went back to Hibbing. I quit my job, went back to Hibbing, and then I moved to the Twin Cities area later. I didn't know if I was going to go there or Boulder, Colorado. And then I ended up doing a U-turn. I went to Minneapolis, where I just in time to help my brother out of a tough situation. Long story. Anyways. I just wanted to share that with you, though, because there's a lot that the Lord is going to bring us through. And that you must be careful. You must be ready. You must be seasoned in the Word of God. And there's one thing that you can never buy, and that's experience. You can't ever buy experience. You've got to go through it to have experience. You've got to go through it to know what it is that the Lord wants you to help teach others, to help others when they need help. And if we all did that, every one of us, we would have church again. We would have what you would call the early church renewed, revisited, all over again. If people truly preferred one another before themselves. Did you know that? There wouldn't be no division. There wouldn't be any strife. There wouldn't be any competition to see who is holier than the next person. There wouldn't be any maligning, indifference, excuses as why this or that can't support, can't pray, can't help someone. None of that would exist in a church with people that truly love the Lord. I remember what that was like when I was serving God in that church. Even in that church up in Grand Rapids, we had what was called we get together every Saturday. Help. We'd all get together, put our hands together and work for free. We had fellowship, we had food, we worked together, got things done. Things were accomplished. Every Friday or Saturday night we had intercession, we would pray. People would come and we'd pray. In spite of it all, but if you have leaders that are looking to loot and take your money, and try to get you to sign your business over to them, well, then there's a problem. You see, then there's a little bit of a greed issue going on. And God can't bless that or use that. And these pastors had to learn the hard way. I don't know who or what they're doing now, where they're at exactly. But once in a while, I find myself praying for them. But I want to start here in chapter 24, Matthew. Okay, in verse 1, if we could start. It says here, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. You see, back then that temple was the center of all Jewish life for 1,000 years. It was a place where everybody met. It was originally built by Zerubbabel, Ezra, Nehemiah, back in those days. And it was customary back then to swear by the temple. And if you ever spoke against the temple, it was considered blasphemy. But Jesus came on the scene, didn't he? Jesus always comes on the scene just at the right time. And he made straight the path. He called things for what they really are. But when you live a life, it's sort of as a Christian, you're going to live a lot of paradoxical lives in that life. The way up is the way down. So Jesus turned things around. Not everything is as it appears to be when you look at things from the outside, but we do see things darkly through dim glasses, dark glasses. We don't have all the answers, though we strive for the mastery. Not everybody has the corner on the Word of God. Not everybody has it. Nobody has it. I'll be honest with you. Not one person who's ever lived on this earth has the corner on the whole Bible. There were things that the Lord kept to himself only. There were things that are written in the Word of God, and yes, the Word of God interprets itself. But there are parts of Revelations that I don't know if anybody could ever figure out. We know that it's there. And I would be lying to you if I told you that I knew all of Revelation. I don't. And I can tell you, as a matter of fact, that nobody does. So let's read. Let's go on to read here. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be here, left here, one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, what happened was that temple, it was a huge temple. It was a temple that was there for many years, but then Herod wanted to make improvements on it. The thing was a monolith that 500 yards long, 400 yards in width, built back in 19 BC, and they rejuvenated it around 63 AD. And it had gold all the way around the building, so that when the sun shone, it was a brilliant shine. It was had this brilliant reflection as the sun shone on it. But it was interesting that the temple was finished only 7 years before it was destroyed. And another interesting note is that when the Lord gave that prophecy, he set the tone for the rest of this chapter, the prophecies. And what had happened was that these Roman soldiers took one stone upon stone and went and dug through the whole building. They took all the gold they could find. And there was, as the Lord said, not one stone was upon another. In fact, today they have a hard time trying to locate where that temple was. And let's go on in verse 3 here now. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of the coming of the end of the world?" Oh, wow. You know, the Lord didn't answer the second question immediately. He answered some parts of that second question, or the first question. But the rest of the chapter really pertains to the second part of the question. And the Lord answers it well. The rest is found in Luke 21, 8 through 23. To be readily more specifically answered according to the first question that they asked. But on here it says in verse 4, in Matthew chapter 24, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many." Oh, there's no humility there, is there? Among people who think they can call themselves Christ? "Many have come and said that I am God. I am Jesus reincarnated." And you know what? That continues today. There are many people out there even today that are claiming that they are the Messiah. But we were foretold and we were warned that that would happen. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Did you know that there is saber rattling going on with Korea? But it was interesting to note that North Korea, one of the most stringent nations on the earth, North Korea wanted to go to war to save its 35,000 statues, those idols. South Korea had made overtures about destroying some of their statues and their idolatrous temples in North Korea. And Kim Jong, whatever his name is, has decided that he's going to start making war and start threatening countries and the U.S. all to save those 35,000 idolatrous statues. Kind of amazing, isn't it? Oh, praise God. But then it goes on to say here, as we read now in verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in divers places." Oh, don't we know it today? You know, one of the reasons why I prayed so hard for rain and snow, in fact, thank God the Lord does know how to hear prayer. And I know that we have, that last summer was a terrible drought. It was so bad. It was almost hard for me to breathe. It was that choking feeling to it with no life, no water. Imagine those plants in the ground that couldn't breathe, couldn't live right, dying. With no water, no life. Isn't it something how that without the true water of life, yeah, the true bread of life, we couldn't live or breathe or exist. That's what we should be seeking after too.
Amen.
But thank God for that rain when it comes.
Amen.
Thank God for that rain and that snow. All these are the beginning of sorrows, it says here in the Word of God. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. There's going to be a people, even among you, that are going to revile you and hate you, slander you. Did you know that? If you've never experienced it before, just wait. Wait a little bit. Sooner or later, as it is written here in the Word of God, and I don't wish that on anybody, it's my prayer that no one here has to go through such a terrible state, but we are to expect that the Word of God is going to be fulfilled. And I just want you to be prepared. You can expect those things to happen in your life, but you can also be prepared for it. You can also be made ready. Therein is the difference between those that are perishing and those that are living. It goes on to say here now, in verse 10, and then shall many be offended. Oh, I know what that feels like, don't you? Have you had anybody offended at you? Anybody in your life? I'm sure you could all raise your hand, couldn't you? You could all say an amen to that, right?
Amen.
You've had people that have come against you for no reason. All because you want to serve God. And then many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Boy, that hate sure is an ugly word, isn't it? What an ugly word that is. That apostasy, that betrayal. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Many will be deceived, not a few. I mean, most of the world will be deceived. And because iniquity shall abound. Oh, listen here now. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Where once there used to be some formality of love. Once there used to be even people that would even shake your hand once in a while or even smile at you. Even say a kind word or two. Used to be the case, if you can remember. But I'm not going to get into that right now. There's a lot to be said there about loving one another. All that backsliding, the love grown cold, no natural affections for love and respect and honor for other people. But let me just say this. That is the barometer of a person's love for God. If you want to know where you are at in your Christian walk, if you want to know if you love God or not, you can know by seeing whether or not you love others around you. If you have hatred and variance and indifference towards other people, whether you're in church or somewhere else, doesn't matter. And you don't have the love of Christ, the light of Christ in you, then that's a clear indicator that tells me that that person doesn't know God, according to 1 John chapter 4. And it goes on to say here now, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But listen to this. Because by the end of this sermon, I'm hoping that you can understand, see, know, and realize that you can live a life that also has hope. That you don't have to let your heart be troubled. If you're living that kind of life that is pleasing to the Lord. And it goes on to say, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The same shall be saved for those that endure to the end. Amen. If you don't endure unto the end, you're going to fall to the wayside. If you can't endure unto the end, you're going to find excuses. Excuses will abound in those that are not committed to serving God. Did you know that? It goes on to say here in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Just quickly to Revelations chapter 14. I'm going to go there. I finally got smart and marked my Bible to the page I need to go to. Revelations 14. But I want to read here what it says in Revelations 14, 6 through 11. It says here, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and every kindred, and every tongue, and people. That means everybody. That means there will be no excuse on that day, on that last judgment day. Seeing with a loud voice, fear God, and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made heaven and earth, and the sea, and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine and the wrath of her fornication. What we're reading in Matthew 24, and right now here in Revelations, lines up with the beast, with that wicked, evil system, Babylon. And that's what we are seeing today, through and through. It's over the top, everywhere you look. Up one side, down the other. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead, or in his hand. We don't have any of that going on today, do we? Because right now, in the here and now, people truly are getting ready to receive the mark physically. They've already received it in their hearts. One more step is going to be that they will receive it in their forehand, in their hand, and in their forehead. Goes on to say now, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture, without mixture. Yes. Into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone. Now listen, in the presence of his holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke, now this is for all those who think that hell is only momentary. All those people who have been buffaloed into thinking that hell is just a temporary thing. I've got news for you. It says right here. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest. You imagine that now. I just want you to think about that. They have no rest day or night. There's no rest. There's no reprieve. Not even one drop of water on your tongue to be had or found anywhere. Only torment and torture in the fires of hell for all eternity. I want you to think about that. If somebody could grasp that and say, look, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. Lord God in heaven, show me how to love you. Show me how to live for you, Lord God. Because there is no hope in the flesh. There's no hope in this sin-sick world. And I don't want to go to the hereafter not knowing God. Not knowing the love of God. So if you don't have the love of Christ in you, you don't know the love of God. Goes on to say here, who no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. So if we go back to Matthew now, I thought that was very, to me, what we're reading in Matthew 24 directly corresponds with Revelations in the end days. And what to expect and what to look for. We are in the end days right now. You see, Schofieldism will teach you that there is a 7-year period of tribulation somewhere over in yonder land. And it's just a little ways off yet though, so we can still drink and eat and be merry. So, you know, we got a little bit of time left. I got a little bit more money. I can put my 401k and I'm thinking about retiring in the Caribbean, and I'm going to just have a grand old time. Isn't that the way of the world? The world wants you to think and feel that way because they're lost and they're perishing and they have no hope. Isn't that how that works? In verse 15, it says this, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Oh, when you see that, let's go to Ezekiel quickly. Ezekiel chapter 8. Lord God, help us. Ezekiel chapter 8. And I want to read verse 12. And then said he unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients, the house of Israel, do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagery. For they say, the Lord seeth us not. The Lord hath forsaken the earth. So through unbelief, vainglory, and evil imagination, these people go on doing evil works in the dark, behind closed doors, thinking God doesn't see them, thinking all is well. I'll do wickedly, then I'll put my white robe over that black shirt that I wear underneath. And then I'll walk among the people and I'll raise my hand, say, bless you, bless you, bless you. He said also unto me, turn thee yet again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. Oh, the greater abominations that atheism in people's hearts, that hatred for God, that idolatry that people live with and that people coddle and pet. Then he brought me to the door of the gate of the Lord's house, which was towards the north. And behold, there sat women weeping for Tammuz. Now we just came out of that scourging day called Easter or Ishtar, the day of Tammuz, where people were deceived into thinking that Easter is somehow a Christian holiday. What a terrible thing to have to live with. To live your whole life deceived, celebrating pagan holidays, and all along you think they're Christian. To live a lie like that is terrible. I want to know the truth, don't you? I don't want to live with my head in the sand like an ostrich. I don't want to do that. I want to know the truth. Because if I know the truth, I know the truth will set me free. And I don't have to be bound. I don't have to be lied to and deceived. Then said he unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Turn thee yet again. Thou shalt see greater abominations than these. Could there be anything greater than that? But there is. And he brought me unto the inner court of the Lord's house, and behold, at the door of the temple of the Lord, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men with their backs towards the temple of the Lord. In other words, they turned their back on God. It goes on to say here, and their faces towards the east. Isn't it interesting how that Washington, D.C. is on the eastern part of the U.S. Their faces towards the east. That Masonic temple. And they worship the sun towards the east. The sun god. Tammuz. Nimrod. Samaria. Who claim to have fallen from the moon in an egg. She became the moon goddess, fell into the Euphrates River and hatched. I thought that was interesting. Goes on to say here now, then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abominations which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me in anger. Lo, they put the branch to their nose. Therefore will I also deal in fury. And mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. Though they cry in mine ears with a loud voice, yet will I not hear them. This was Israel's sin and rebellion and idol worship. The rejection of God's mercy, grace. That made them desolate. and reprobate. They rejected God's mercy. Let's go to Daniel real quick, chapter 11. Daniel 11, real quickly, talks about some of that too. There are other chapters in Daniel. You could go to, 8 and 9 also, 12, but we won't go to all of those. Let's go to Daniel 11, verse 30, 31 and 32. I just want to quickly read those three, then we'll head back to Matthew. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. So shall he do. He shall even return to have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. They have an agreement with death, don't they? The arm shall stand on their part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, in other words, the word of God. That daily sacrifice is the word of God. They would take it away. They would destroy it. They would pollute it. They would manipulate it to believe and to think, or for others to think and believe it would say something else other than what it said. And shall take away the daily sacrifice. They shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I praise God for that. There is a people that know God. There is a people that won't fall to that idol worship, that won't fall to vainglory and flattery, that won't fall to that deception, but will be kept by God. There is a people, albeit a remnant they are, but there'll be a people when the Lord comes back.
Amen.
Though the faith will ebb low, the tide goes in and the tide goes out. Faith must be a constant in our life if we're to have any strength. We can't be wishy-washy. If we're to really, truly know God, if we're really to make up our mind and set our face like flint to serve God, then we can't be wishy-washy. We can't believe and mean one thing here this day. Come next week, we do a complete flip and say, I don't think I believe that anymore. Or, I don't know about that. Because it's got to be in here. It's got to be something that you really believe right here. It's got to mean something to you. But usually and typically is the case. If it doesn't cost you anything, it's not going to mean anything to you. Then let them which be in the Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. When they have to leave, it'll be done in haste. If persecution comes, there won't be no going back to collect the kitchen sink and your little doilies, you know, all these little knickknacks and things that you hold dear. All that stuff would just not matter anymore.
Sure.
Neither let him which is in the field return back and take his clothes. He's going to leave with the clothes on his back, and that's it. That's all he's going to have time for. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. Now, there might be some truth to that literally, but I think what that's really saying is those that are babies in Christ spiritually. those that don't know the Lord very well, that will easily fold, fall, and plunder down to the ground in a heap of confusion, fear, not of no ability to have faith when they see these things come upon the earth, when they see these things happening all around them. Their heart will fail because they see what's going on. Woe unto them that give suck in those days. In other words, woe unto them that are weak, those that are young, that are not committed to serving God. But there are those that are young in the Lord who have already made up their mind to serve God. They'll make it if you've made up your mind. And it goes on to say here, but pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be a great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor shall ever be. That tribulation is going to be absolutely, we're talking about that time when things completely fall apart. We already live in the tribulation. But there are things, we haven't seen everything yet. We haven't experienced everything yet that the devil has thrown at us. I'm sure there's things a ton more worse than what we're dealing with now. If you end up having to stand in some soup line, or if you're standing in line and waiting to go to the crematorium because you resist or because you don't agree with the Antichrist and his system, and they want to kill you and destroy you because you don't agree with them. There will be many martyrs in these end days. I don't know all the details. I don't think anybody really does. But the Bible tells us that these are the things that we are to look for. And listen, in number 22 it says here, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened.
Praise the Lord.
How many know that those days are shortened right now?
Yeah.
Right now, we live in that time, right now. Right now. Those days are shortened right now. It ain't tomorrow. It ain't next year. But we're seeing that right now. Then if any man shall go, shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. Oh, those who claim to be God. I'm sure we haven't seen it all yet, not even maybe half of it. All the is there even a word for it? All the filth of the way people think. And to think that people would claim to be God, where is the zeal in Christians today to rise up and rebuke such a thing when they see that or hear about it? Where is the love of Christ? Yet the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. There is still hope. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Lying wonders going on. Lying miracles. What you see in churches today, this gold dust falling down.
Yeah.
It's all a facade from the devil himself. Those cooperating with the devil and his works. Gold teeth. Come on. anything that takes place to glorify Jesus is of the devil. Anything that takes its focus off of the Lord is not of God. Anything that glorifies riches, material things, beautiful people, prosperity is not of God. I can tell you that right now. It's of the devil. It's all of the devil. Very shortly, will be thrown into the lake of fire. And behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh from the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There is no secret rapture. None. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Nothing to do with the concept, the false concept and lie from the pit of hell that there's some seven or some secret rapture and then you get carried into a 7-year pig out in heaven. Huh? No such thing. It doesn't compute. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. And for whosoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. In other words, when the Lord comes back, everything in comparison to the Lord's brilliance will become dim and dull and dark. Amen? Amen. That sun will be dark compared to what the Lord, when he comes back. All that pre-trib theory is going to be destroyed here. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Heaven, Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. Oh, that guilty fear that is coming upon the earth. Oh, the people that are going to sit there and cry and mourn because they see their time of judgment is now at hand. Oh, they disregarded the Lord. They rejected Christ. Oh, they rejected his great mercies, his outstretched arm all the day long, reaching out to a rebellious generation of people. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. In other words, you remember how the Lord led the Israelites in that cloud of pillar? That was his presence. He is going to be present in the here and now when he comes back. That's his presence. And he shall send angels with the great sound of the trumpet. And they shall gather together the elect, his elect, from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Oh, it's going to be a great time of retribution and judgment and fear. That great dread that people have not made themselves ready will come suddenly upon those who have forsaken the Lord. It will come in a day and an hour when you are not prepared. Will people be ready? What will it take for people to wake up? So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Hey, our number one concern should be that we make our calling and election sure. Are you making that sure in your life today? Oh, Lord God, help us. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Did you know that we're going to be judged by the words of God found written in this word here on that great day? Amen. We're going to be judged from the word of God. The books will be opened. And then also the books of those that were redeemed and those that are lost. And then we're going to be judged according to the very words found written in this word, right here. So if we're not working out our salvation with fear and trembling, we're in trouble. We need to be ready. The Bible commands us to be ready for a reason. Because at the end of the day, if you're not ready, if you don't have peace, and that day comes, you're not going to be ready, what then? Jesus is that peace and rest. We are to go to Him and fall upon Him. We are to go to Him to find that rest and peace. We are to live in Him to find that rest and peace. In Him in us. To abide in Him and He will abide in us. But as the days of Noah were, so also the coming of the Son of Man be. Oh, in those days, you know already. You already know what it was like in those days. Eating, drinking. All you got to do is look around you right here and you'll know what it was like in Noah's day. That's all you got to do. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving into marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not, oh boy, history is going to repeat itself. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Oh, there's going to be that great final separation. It's going to be eternal. It's going to be final. That's it. It's going to be over with. Then shall be two be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. The woman shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken and the other left. You know, woe unto those that are drinking and eating that do not include the real bread and water of life. If you don't have the real bread and water of life, if you don't have that, you're eating junk food. It's going to kill you. Watch therefore, for ye know not the hour of your what hour your Lord doth come. Oh, we need to be married to the bridegroom. We need to be married to the bridegroom to be ready. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in that watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. You know, the Lord is coming back not 1 second sooner and not 1 second later. If people would just be watching, waiting, as the Lord just spoke to us here, just now. Therefore, be ye also ready, For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and a wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? You see, the faithful service of those body of believers is rewarded, but it is also rewarded with increased responsibility. Goes on to say here in 46, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming. You see, he was once numbered as one of those who believed God. But then he changed. He was double-minded. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in the day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, completely, completely unaware, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion to be weeping. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? 1 Corinthians, if we could turn there real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I want to parallel that with what we just read. In verse 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye. Did you hear that? Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Murmuring, complaining, gossip, finding fault, looking to create upheaval, looking to create division, looking to overthrow and usurp authority. That's what that is. But they were destroyed. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples. In other words, an example. And they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Did you hear that? There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. In other words, seek God for deliverance. Let's go to John chapter 14. John 14, verse 1, just going back several pages. But we have, did you know that we have a very precious remedy for heart trouble today? Did you know that? Well, it says right here, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. What is that heart remedy? Faith. That remedy is called faith. And real quickly, I just want to skip back over to Isaiah 26 before we get into that part. Isaiah 26. Like Peter, they needed to fix their eyes more on Jesus, less on the waves and wind around them. They needed to have faith. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation that which keepeth truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. If you want everlasting strength, have faith. Trust God. In my Father's house are many mansions. This is back in John 14, verse 2. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. In other words, hey, the Lord prepares a place for somebody he knows and to expect upon arrival. If he goes to prepare a place for you, he's expecting you to be there. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Those are comforting words to these disciples who were very confused and concerned, wanting to know where the Lord was going. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Oh, I love this. Verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how could we know the way? Oh, that's wonderful. Because it sets the stage here. It says here in verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, nobody can make it unless they go through Jesus first. There ain't 100 different ways. There's only one way. There's only one way. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. In other words, if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Because he is one with the Lord. He is one with God. God the Father. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. But Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, Philip? Yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? How many churches does this apply to? How many people can truly say that they know God? How many churches walk in unbelief? How many churches right now are walking, blaspheming God at every turn? Churches. Churches that are using swear words in the pulpit and telling their people to do the same thing. It's a disgusting time that we live in. I'm not going to get into that because it's too profane. I can't repeat it to you. It's too much, even for me to think about it. Believest thou not that I am the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these he shall do, because I go unto the Father. In other words, it's not so much the greater miracles, such as raising somebody after they've been dead for 4 days. But I think what we're seeing here is that there would be many more conversions. Because not long after then, they had revivals, Pentecost, and they had, situations in their lives where they would go out two by two. They would witness, many thousands would come to the Lord. Hundreds and thousands of people would be saved. Peter would himself be one of those used by God. And many would commit their lives to the Lord. As he said, to repent, all of you, repent and be baptized. Many thousands come to the Lord. And it goes on to say, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do also, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You see, many people fail because they fail to pray. They don't seek the Lord. It goes on to say in 14, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. You know, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, he produces repentance and faith, fear and love. But the world can't understand that, nor can the world accept that. To those that are perishing, it's foolishness unto them. But it goes on to say in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that's the Holy Ghost, that he may abide with you forever. Now that's comforting.
Amen.
Even the Spirit of truth that will set you free, you see. Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Oh, praise God. Because see, if you have that seal upon you, happy are you. When you have that seal of the Holy Ghost upon your life. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. 19 goes on to say, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye shall see me, because I live. Ye shall live also. Praise God for life.
Amen.
Praise God that God gives us life. Though we were dead, yet shall we live.
Amen.
At one day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. For the sake of time, I'm not able to go to Psalm 82, but there's a lot I want to share in Psalms 82. But, maybe I'll have just a tad moment here. Just a moment. Psalm 82. Well, it goes on to say here, How long will ye judge unjustly, except the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Rid them out of the land of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand, for they walk on in darkness. Did you see that? All the foundations of the earth are out of course. What's what we're seeing today? I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and fall like one of the princesses. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. And if you go back to 14 here, it talks about that judgment. But it also talks about that, how that we are to love God to avoid that judgment. If we want to avoid that judgment, to keep His commandments. Judah saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But I want to finish here in just two more verses, because I'm not able to finish. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, Jesus is that peaceful rest. That Holy Ghost, when He comes, He's going to give you two things. The Holy Ghost and peace. And that peace and His quiet presence and peaceful rest encompass what the Holy Ghost gives you when you need it. When you are looking for answers in your life, when you can't find it through trouble, problems. But the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. I couldn't finish everything today because of time. But at least I got to verse 27. The title of my message, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Praise God. The Lord will help you. You see all the wicked and all the evil going on around you. That was meant to paint some kind of a picture to you to see, to know that you don't have to let your heart be troubled amidst all that we've seen that's going on in the world today. We see all the things that are happening in the newspapers and in the media, wars and rumors of wars. But we don't have to let our heart be troubled. We can have peace by the Holy Ghost, which gives us that rest, that joy in His presence. I hope that helps somebody. Praise God. Well, we'll sing in closing here. Praise God. Praise God. I hope that helps somebody. I don't know. But if you have any needs, any prayer requests, please feel free. But we'll go downstairs and we'll have a luncheon after this for all who can stay. But in the meantime, let's sing in closing. I'm not to the right page here. Bear with me. Right here. Yeah. Number 81 in the chorus book. It's called "The Wind is Blowing Again." The wind of the Holy Ghost is what we need. The wind of the Holy Ghost to give us that sure presence of comfort, peace, and joy in these end days amid all the trouble. When he says, "Trouble, let not your heart be troubled." Amen. The wind is blowing again. Oh, the wind is blowing again. Oh, just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Oh, the wind is blowing again. And just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Oh, the wind is blowing again. And just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again. Praise God. Be dismissed under prayer. Amen.
Thank you. have to be tried really hard not to get it. Even if I broke it, the word broke the Bible, even if I broke it, comprehended, that they could understand what the word of God. That if this man is teaching in that manner, in that way, deceiving the people, you've got to be patient with that in itself to do that kind of thing. He definitely is not a job. Wow.
Yeah, it was an hour and a half, and I've heard a different
version
over the past. Was this
YouTube?
Yeah, it was. I'll
find it. Dude, let me know what, because I want to just check that out too. I think that would be a helpful tool to use, to see just how deceptive, what the tricks that hell was using right now. Mm-hmm. I hear you. No, I'm